Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer.
It's time for 5 on. Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on it.
This is 5 on it. It's kind of like when we say we have some advice. It's not necessarily the top advice. It's just some advice. These are our 5 questions that we want to discuss.
But also, I will give out some top advice if someone wants top advice. Otherwise, yes, the default is just some advice.
No, but you know what? This is the time of year to give out advice.
Okay. You know what? Post-show, we will find a segment where we can dole out some advice. I already have advice for Arturis Carter Chauvis. We'll get into that later.
What are you talking about? What advice? So are you talking about life advice or
life
sports advice?
Yeah, Marshall
love and
advice,
I were working on a topic or a
lust
segment
advice,
called
relationship
like,
advice.
Called like some advice. It's not like the best advice and it's not the worst advice. It's some advice.
And to answer the texter or anybody else who gets the reference I'm about to make, yes, I survived. I did not have my liver harvested. See Chris Ranji. Thank you.
You guys talk about some weird things at night, Ranji.
It was live on the radio, man. It's not like some secret thing. It happened on Friday night.
Interesting.
Yeah, but that's, I'll leave it at that.
Number one.
Rank the following factors in the Cubs' 8-7 loss to the Cardinals, from most problematic to least problematic. Here are your options. Pretty obvious if you watched the game. A,
options.
Jameson Taillon's performance. B, Pete Crow Armstrong's performance. C, the Cardinals' talent level.
Okay, Cardinals' talent level is the lowest of these. Jameson Taillon giving up home runs aplenty is an issue. Pete Crow Armstrong is an aberration. Jameson Taillon is a pattern. So in that order for me, it is Taillon, PCA, the Cardinals' talent level.
I'll go ahead and disagree with you right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I think we can all agree with, and that's Jameson Taillon's performance, because when you give up 3 home runs, the chances of your team winning go down demonstrably.
Yeah, so that was number one for me, so we agree to start.
Yes, but then it's definitely the Cardinals' talent level, number two.
Oh.
People have been taking shots at the Cardinals' talent level all season long, and where are they? Where are they? Oh, wait, they're tied for the third wild card, which means if the season ended today, they'd probably have to play a one-game playoff with the Brewers to see who goes to the playoffs.
Everybody gets hot.
Oh, okay, well, it's past the everybody gets hot stage because we're at the midpoint of the season.
This is why they're
so
hot.
So you're in. That's it. They're in. The Cardinals.
No, they're not in.
A team which, by the way,
they're hot
basically spent zero money in the offseason because they are going to be going through a personnel boss change going in. Like, Mozeliak is not walking through that door again next year. You really think that the powers that be, unless they think they can win the World Series, you don't think they're going to start selling
enough
pieces off?
No, because it's his last year. It's Jed's last year too, and that's why I think Jed's like, this is what I'm doing this year. And then he's like, hey, Tom Ricketts, this could be us.
Don't you think that they're the people that are still going to be with the organization are going to say, no, don't do that, because even if you go all out this year, it's not going to lead to anything. And then you, by the way, the Cardinals have no farm system right now. You have no sustained success. You have no Cardinal way. So unless the Cardinals like win 15 in a row or do something extraordinary, they're not going to be a player in this by the end of the season.
Okay, you sound so confident, but I just can't count them out like that.
What do you, let's be clear. They've played 80 games. That is not a small sample size.
That's half a season.
They will play half a season after tonight's game, which they very well could win with Eric Fetty on the mound. Eric Fetty's got a sub-3 ERA in the month of June.
I still love you, Eric Fetty.
Yeah.
The White Sox didn't get enough for you.
Maybe the Cubs will acquire Eric Fetty from the Cardinals when they start trading pieces off. Maybe he will be acquired.
Listen, maybe that will happen. But I'm saying, as of today, 80 games into the season, they found a way to be 8 games over 500 and tied for the final wild card spot. They have a run differential plus 41. That's not bad. That's not even average. That is a good run differential through 80 games of the season.
Nolan Arenado was pretty good yesterday.
They've won eight of their last ten games as well.
Right.
I think that they have to do something extraordinary by the trade deadline. Because wait, do you think that this team, like as constituted, because what you're saying is the Cardinals are good. You're saying the Cardinals are good, which means they're going to be good this year. They could probably be good the next year. You're saying that they have their core. You can't even like name multiple all-stars or would-be all-stars on this Cardinals team at this point. So they have to be extraordinary, or they're going to break this thing down. That was their plan at the beginning of the season. Listen, let this season ride out.
They may still break this thing down. That's fine. But what I'm saying is if between now and the trade deadline, things continue to trend this way in which they are holding down a playoff spot. What happens is a lot of teams say they're going through a rebuild. It ends up being a retool. A lot of teams say they're going through a retool. It ends up being a rebuild. White Sox. So you have to understand that both those things are possible. What you're saying is possible. But I'm saying as of right now, especially after witnessing the last two games I witnessed.
Yeah.
It's possible that the Cardinals are just hanging around.
Mason I don't buy
the
body. Yeah. And Wilson Contreras and Newbar. There's pieces there.
And remember this, Mark. Remember this also.
There's pieces there.
This
isn't really
the old 1980s freaking National League where two teams go to the playoffs. Six teams out of 15 go to the playoffs. That means 40% of the National League gets to go to the playoffs.
Okay, I'm calling time. You got to rank your factors now. PCA is last for you.
Good job by you, Marshall.
Our on-pace stat is that it would take us 35 minutes to figure five on it.
You're right.
You have regained
Mark
control.
Mark came at me, though. I got a little...
No, you did. That's all right. That felt good.
This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Oh, you're worried about those
Cardinals? 815 Movie Club is still happening.
I am more worried about the Cardinals, by the way, just to wrap that up.
But what is it for you? What rank them. Is it Jameson Taillon? Is it PCA? Or is it the talent level?
The worst thing that happened last night was Taillon, period.
Most problematic to least problematic.
Okay, so that was the most problematic. I would go with the Cardinals talent level 2 and PCA
as
number 3. I'm talking about last night. Was the question not last night?
But you guys end up agreeing, so you fight to agree.
Yeah,
I present to you.
But we were arguing about the big picture.
Let's move on.
Marshall and I have a big picture.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Issue.
Men.
Number 2.
Boys.
Well, that first question was about last night's Cubs loss to the Cardinals. This one's a bigger picture look. Which team do you now consider to be the biggest threat to the Cubs in the NL Central?
The Cardinals.
It's not the Cardinals.
Round 2, Marshall.
It's not the Cardinals. It's Christian Yelich and the Brewers.
Algonquin for the good land. When you roll out a kiddo who can throw a slider at 96 and Jacob Mizorowski, I like your chances of performing well. Also, they've won the division how many times out of the last how many years?
Two-time division champions are the Brewers. The Brewers are the correct answer, but I will say this before I cede my time after going way over. The only reason I even had anything to say back to Mark Grody is because I literally said the Cardinals' talent. And that's when he went off. And then he goes off only to just say, yes, you're right. It is the Cardinals' talent.
No, that's last night. No. Don't do that. We're having a
Robbie,
deeper...
Robbie, go back and get that
we're,
tape.
A deeper,
if we have time at the end, I want to play that back when he interjected.
Conversation about the Cubs and Cardinals. The question was about last night's game, was it not? Was it not, producers?
Yes, it was about last night's game.
And I answered it, and that's when he started going off on me. And I was like,
you're arguing about agreeing. I just need you to think about this.
Go ahead, Grody. Go ahead.
What's the question?
Oh! I answered
which
it,
team
way.
Do you now consider to be the biggest threat to the Cubs in the NL Central? I mean, Grody, you go.
It's absolutely the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't even did you guys mention that Woodruff is coming back in?
Oh yeah, yeah. We can.
So
yes,
Woodruff
yeah.
is probably coming back in July. All those the Brewers are better than the Cardinals. I don't know. What about the Reds?
Yeah, no. They're all threats is my point. They were always threats.
Oh, I think that, look, they're there, but they're just not going to be there at the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
See, Grody, I'm disappointed. Yep. I thought you'd say there'd be no threat.
No threat.
I wanted you to stick to your guns. You have you and this pet whale, and you can now just be like, stick to my guns. There's no threat.
I can't handle the comments today, so I can't make a proclamation.
And number 3.
According to Scott Merkin of MLB.com, White Sox outfielder Luis Robert Jr. is now 4 home runs away from 100 for his career. He's tied with Ron Karkovice for 25th on the all-time White Sox list at 96. 21 White Sox players have topped 100 homers. What does it say about Robert Jr. that he has yet to reach the 100 home run mark?
So this is what I said in our group thread. I said, I was not coming into the career of Luis Robert thinking that he would be, of no offense, Ron Karkovice. I thought Luis Robert was going to be one of those guys who was at least going to be in like the top 15 of White Sox hitters in their history. Based on the talent level, based on what he was when they acquired him, based on who he was early in his career. You know that this gives me great sadness. So I just consider all of those things when it comes to where in White Sox lore he was supposed to have been. But unfortunately, that also describes that entire class of prospects that the White Sox had.
The saddest part about all of this is he had an all-star season in 2023 in which he hit 38 bombs. In other seasons, he's never made it past 14. And he hit 14 last year in a year where he hit 224. We're looking at probably another 15 to 16 home run season for Luis Robert Jr.
When I saw this tweet, I was shocked. I was like, wait a minute. And I wasn't sure, like, maybe Scott Merkin is just laying out the facts and leaving it open for interpretation. Or he was saying, oh my God, he's about to have 100 homers. Let's celebrate the fact that, how does he not have 100 homers? And you just sort of laid some of that out. That was shocking to me. And then, yeah, just to hear, it is so symbolic to hear the name, a mediocre player for the White Sox, in Ron Karkovice. And I know it brought a smile to your face too, Layla.
Well, like, I mean, it's like now appearing at Sox Fest. Like, that's how
Karkovice.
I felt about it.
Like, Karkovice, the ultimate great defensive, like, one of the better defensive catchers the Sox have probably ever had, but he was not much of a hitter. So when you see that name in the same sentence for various reasons, it is very shocking. And yes, I will second what Layla said as well. It seems like every day we get something symbolic of the closure or the disappointment that was that last gasp core put together by Rick Hahn that we all, at one point in time, thought was going to be really good.
The other thing that this says is because his 162 game average for his career for home runs is 29, is that man has missed a lot of time.
A lot of time.
Oh, yeah,
that's really the reason.
Yes, that also is a microcosm of that whole class of White Sox
it
players.
Is.
The one
Eloy.
Time he played over 100 games, he had 38 home runs.
I think Eloy, Yoán Moncada, Tim Anderson, and Luis Robert played, and Yasmani Grandal maybe played like four games
Jesus.
Together. It wasn't four,
seriously.
But it was something ridiculously
low. It's something
low.
Ridiculous like that. You're right.
Number four.
How much faith do you have in Bulls Vice President of Basketball Operations Arturas Karnišovas and General Manager Mark Eversley, also known as Bulls Twitter as Acme, to make the correct draft pick tonight in the NBA draft?
Why did I think we were doing the other question about Patrick Williams and Lonzo Ball?
What about Acme?
We weren't.
Nope.
No, I believe you. How much faith do I have?
Now she has to figure out. She did not expect to be asked about her faith in this segment.
Okay, while you're doing that, I'll start.
Yeah, because I need to contemplate this.
Listen. I have little faith that they will make the correct draft pick, but I do understand that you can grow a lot from a little. So maybe my little faith is well placed from a standpoint of understanding what the resume has been in the last 4 years. And just understanding that Matis Buzelis did happen. And my hope for the Bulls is that something falls to them where we can all say, I can't believe that player fell to them. And that's why we're excited. Otherwise, it's going to be a situation of, we'll check back in 2 to 3 years and see how that worked out.
Well, and it wasn't on his watch. But for example, when you're mentioning Daniel Gafford in a comp, Daniel Gafford never flourished here. He ends up being a starting five for a finals team when he was with the Mavericks, you know, and that's the part of it that is upsetting. It's that they will get talent, and sometimes, regardless of regime, it hasn't been developed.
Billy Donovan.
We mentioned Dalen Terry earlier, for example. I think that, you know, we talk about Matis Buzelis. you also have to give credit to Arturis Karnišovas for scouting Nikola Jokic. Like, when the guy hits, he hits. I think that that is not the issue. It's just how many misses. And then also, second chances and second contracts are you going to give a player? So that's where I sit with this.
In baseball terms, you want the batting average to be higher, but you don't care about the batting average if you can get that slug way up because you're hitting home runs. So you're hoping this is a home run tonight.
That's how I feel. But the history of that with this team and this organization hasn't been good.
I don't have much faith, and it is because of the examples, specifically Patrick Williams, and I know we've talked about Dalen Terry. I don't remember if that was off the air or on the air, but those are obviously not impact players on your team right now, one of whom, Patrick Williams, that you paid. I will say this. The what they did in getting Modest Buzelis last year has me saying, okay, I'm listening. Let's see if you can stack some seasons here together because the draft hasn't gone well. But based on okay.
I would assume you.
Right. That was a good pick, but that was in the second round.
Io fell to them.
Second round, right?
Yep.
Io, so sure that, that's a
but
little.
But they were still smart enough to pick him.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, so if. So I get a little bit. I'm ready to listen after based on last year. But the faith, no.
Number five.
The New York Times is currently releasing their top 100 movies of the 21st century so far. Today, they released the movies that they ranked 41 through 60, and their rankings in the top 10 will be released on Friday. The question to you guys, what is your favorite movie that has been released in the 21st century or since the year 2000?
There will be blood. Period. Paragraph.
So good.
Nothing has made me feel more empty inside and been as much of an allegory in life and late stage capitalism. Daniel Day-Lewis is one of the greatest actors of our time. I rest my case.
I drink it a milkshake. I drink it up.
It's over.
Is it over?
The segment is over.
No.
That's it. Layla said.
No.
That's it.
Listen.
No, I rest in my case.
That is a great, great movie. It really is.
Yeah, the question is, what's your favorite movie? So for me,
yes,
it's a toss-up. A Man Called Otto.
Wow.
Avengers Endgame. Those are my two. Those are very different movies. If you haven't seen A Man Called Otto, watch it. It will make you feel things.
Wow.
Tom Hanks. Unbelievable.
That is a wild
Avengers Endgame. Never had more fun. My previous was The Dark Knight.
Oh yeah, that's up there.
When I saw that here in Chicago in IMAX, I was like, this is crazy. And this the theater reaction along with you, like the opening scene of The Dark Knight, is like, and away we go. Avengers Endgame, the end of that movie, the fight scene, the beginning of that fight scene on your left. Those are the two movies, A Man Called Otto, Avengers Endgame.
Wow. Okay.
My favorite two movies.
We are doing movie club. We just got to settle on a date because this is a time where we get to have vacation before football season. So we're kind of confused about when to set.
No, it's going to be next Friday, a week from this Friday. That's when we'll, or not, no, that's wrong because that's July 4th.
That's July 4th.
That's July 4th. See? You're right.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, somebody we'll said the new millennium starts in 2001, not in the year 2000.
Well, good news.
In the year 2000.
There will be blood.
What was yours, Brody?
Like
did you say one?
Oh, no, I'm going to go with, there's so many. I'm going to go with The Departed. Departed, yeah, so good.
I enjoyed that.
The cranberry juice, yes.
Guys, getting Departed. Shot
question
in the head.
Is, Mark, where were you the whole movie when things were actually happening? Mark Wahlberg. He just disappeared and then came back at the end.
He's so great. Like he turns out to be the hero and the good guy.
No, if he's the hero, he would have stopped some things from happening.
No, but he took care.
Anthony Anderson didn't deserve that.
Anger was consistent, and for that I applaud
his
him.
His anger was hilarious. I think it's one of his
best
roles.
And then he
roles.
Made fun of it in the other guys, basically.
They're just filibustering, so Robbie can't play this sound.
What you got for us, Bob?
I don't have it yet.
Okay.
Is it?
Bring it back for 145.
Actor? Is it the GOAT, Daniel Day-Lewis, yelling, I drink your milkshake?
I drink. I've abandoned my boy.
That was on my
I'm
list as well.
You, watch it. Watch it under the lens of modern, current, late-stage capitalism, and you tell me how you feel.
I'm an oil man.
It's so good.
Who's the antagonist in that, the actor's name? He's so good in that, too.
Well,
everybody's
an antagonist. That's the point.
Who is he? What's the actor's name? Anybody?
Superbad 773 is a good call.
Mitch Rosen, do you know? I wonder what Mitch Rosen's favorite movie is. The operations director at the score since the year 2001. Mitch?
2000?
I would say Annie Hall or Slapshot.
Oh, get out of here.
Those are not
from the 21st
century. Those are not released in this century.
21st century.
I just walked in. I'm sorry. I'd have to think about that.
Okay, no, that's all right. I thought maybe you had like a recent favorite. Okay.
I can't hear you because I don't have headphones on.
Oh, so wow. Yeah.
Right now.
You're making us late.
630 says Interstellar.
Let's go.
That's a long movie.
Social Network's also great.
For that.
Project X was a fun ride, by the way, too.
Superbad is a really good call. I told her what time it is. Like, that's my favorite, where he's like so confident that the reactment is actually way better.
No, it's all right here. What's your favorite movie of all time, Layla?
All time?
What?
We gotta go.
Oh, okay, sorry. I just thought since the boss was standing there, we had a little...
Anchorman is up there for me.
That's not how it works.
Take the break! Take the break!
Okay, what we're talking about...
Go to break.
Yeah, we'll do that. I have to tell people. Up next, our friend Mark Sweeney. The man has played baseball for many teams. He evaluates the Cardinals and more. Some baseball knowledge will drop next on the...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Little chopper, Nolan has to avoid the base runner, throws the first and got him. What a play! The Cardinals beat the Cubs 8-7 in a game that had a little bit of everything.
That was one of the best games of the season for the Cardinals. Back and forth affair. You want to talk about concentration on the final play of the game. The chopper on a short hop. A runner coming at you. Bare hand and makes the play.
That was Chip Carey on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And we go to our Circa Resort and Casino hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, and bring in a man I was lucky to work with in San Diego. He is a multi-year veteran in the big leagues, over a decade of play, 14 years of service time, and now the analyst for FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. It is Mark Sweeney. Sweeney, thanks for coming on.
Oh, Layla, thank you for the kind words. It was great working with you as well, and love seeing that you're flourishing in your career as well.
I was telling these guys during the break about how you put up with my rookie self. That is a kind way of putting it. Thank you for teaching me so much about the game and the culture. It really did mean a lot to me.
Well, we had a great group in San Diego, and you know what? When you start doing your gig and you don't know where it's going to go, I'm finding myself in St. Louis and you're finding yourself in Chicago, but we're still involved with sports, which is really fun.
Sweets also joins us on twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore if you want to see him there.
Mark, speaking of great groups, I mean, it's kind of unexpected just how great this group of Cardinals has been and what's John Mozeliak's last year at the helm in the front office. I'm curious as to what you think has been the driving force behind the Cardinals' success after an offseason, which we thought, you know, Nolan Arenado and others might be moved. Instead, they've kind of just stayed the course, and now you are in the thick of things holding on to that last wildcard spot in the NL.
Yeah, kind of a strange spring training to go down to, because you had a lot of excitement because guys were getting opportunities to cut their teeth in the big leagues. Guys that were already in the big leagues knew that they were going to get what was called a runway to be able to go get at bats and be able to pitch in certain situations. So very oddity when it comes to Cardinals baseball, because I think everyone realizes what Cardinal baseball is all about is those stars, Molina, Wainwright, Pujols. You hear those names, you have expectations. That being said, these guys in this version of the Cardinals has really been inspired baseball. It's kind of a throwback aspect because they pitch. They don't have pitchers that are going to wow you in the sense of strikeouts and embarrassing you. They just know how to pitch. They know how to execute. But more importantly, when I say old school, it becomes going out there and catching the ball, being able to play inspired defense, win games because of your defense. We don't really talk about that in the game of baseball anymore. We just talk about the exploits of certain players that are very good defensively rather than a team concept. So they've played, I would say, surprising baseball, 8 games over .500 at this point. I think they are very excited about that. But they've also built an opportunity for them to say, you know what, we can go out there and out-execute a lot of these teams and just try to win series. And something simple like that has worked for the Cardinals.
I'm hearing terms like playing surprising baseball, unexpected success. So my question to you, Mark, is do you expect it to then last? Because sometimes when we don't expect something to happen, it happens. Things come back to where we originally thought they were going to be. So do you think that this is for real?
Well, I say this. We're almost to the halfway point of the season, which is crazy how fast this has gone. But they've created an atmosphere, they being the Cardinals, have created an atmosphere where they feel like they can take on very talented teams in the league, and quite frankly, probably more talented than they are. And that's why I say a surprise. But the game of baseball, and I, you know, like Layla talked about, being there for 14 years, I saw everything. I've been on great teams. I've been on teams that weren't expected to do anything that did. And I also were on teams that didn't play particularly well. There's facets of a composition of a team that really warrant you believing in them. And I say that because this team plays together. They have fun playing the game of baseball. Some teams that are more talented than them don't seem like they enjoy playing baseball. And I think we could probably signify some of those teams that are underachieving. This team, I feel like, is overachieving. But now they start feeling like we have a Cubs series. The Cubs have played great baseball all year long. And this is an important series, so let's take it as it is and go out there and try to win the series. That's what their mentality is, and it's worked for them for the first half. I believe in them because they've taught me that when they get punched in the mouth, they come back. That's a nice trait to have as a team.
Mark, I also thought about you when it came to learning the art of pinch hitting and understanding being part of a bench and when to be called upon. We've really experienced that watching Craig Counsell manage this Cubs team. We've talked a lot about the platoon of Michael Busch and Justin Turner at first base, for example. I know you know a lot about how Craig Counsell uses his bench. What has been your observation so far just in the past season and a half he's had with the Cubs?
Yeah, Layla, I think Craig Counsell is brilliant as a manager. Some Cub fans might not believe that because of certain games that he's managed or whatever. The body of work and what he does and how he translates how he was as a player, what he saw as a player, and what he expects is really transforming into him as a manager. He's a better manager every single year. And that's why I say Craig Counsell is one of those guys. I do believe both of these managers, even Ollie Marmol and Craig Counsell, are the manager of the year favorites to this point in the National League. The reason why I say that is that they get the most out of their team. They understand how to enhance PCA, take on a new roster, and how are they going to be better, and how do they get off to a good start. So both managers have done that. I think Craig Counsell gets the most out of his players because he communicates. He understands what he wants to get out of these guys. He expects it, and he understands the challenges of managing 162 games.
Mark, I'm interested because this series is so much more important for the Cardinals than it was the Cubs, because if this had gone the other way, just even the first two games, there's a chance that the Cards could get buried a little bit. But now you see the entirety of the NL Central, with the Pirates notwithstanding, getting back to being within striking distance of the Cubs. If they win this game tonight, they'll win the series and gain two games, no matter what happens tomorrow with Shota Imanaga on the mound. How are you seeing this series and this two-week stretch in which you face the Cubs twice in two series as a level of pivotal heading towards that trade deadline, when you could say we're going to sell off, or you could just say we're going to retool and hold?
Yeah, this is an important time because especially in the National League, to me is more superior than the American League at this point. That being said, you made a great point about the division. Cincinnati Reds are playing really good baseball under Tito Francona. I think you look at the Milwaukee Brewers and you say, you know what? We have to take down the Milwaukee Brewers because they have been more consistent than the Cardinals and the Cubs the last few years. That being said, the Cubs are up on front, so they're being chased. So how are they going to handle being the team that's being chased? And this becomes a bigger series because of that. I think the Cardinals understand they couldn't wait to play the Cubs. And I think the Cubs-Cardinals speaks for itself. The intensity is great. It's always fun and an involvement with the fans. I think it's great for baseball. That being said, this is a more important series for the Cardinals because still they're identifying themselves, as I mentioned before. They realize that there's a lot of uncertainty with younger players playing a 162-game season. Kyle Tucker understands how to win because he came from the Astros. So that's going to help the Cubs. Also, the Cubs are waiting for this opportunity to be the NL Central's favorite. So that's why the series means more. As a player, you understand it's series to series. It really doesn't matter, even though you know the intensity of the Cubs is really good. I just think as a player's perspective, they take game after game. It's not like a fan. It's not like a broadcaster where we try to build up that more intensity. Bottom line, it's Cubs Cardinals. And we all know that it's going to be a really good matchup tonight. But I think every game is individualized, and that's the way you should take it both ways.
We're talking to the 14-year Major League veteran, Mark Sweeney, now an analyst for FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, here in Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on the Score. And I also think you're so good, Mark, when it comes to advice. We saw what happened with Pete Crow Armstrong last night. Situational baseball, forgets what out it is in the fourth inning. Then we're seeing a home run hitter later bunt, you know, in the seventh with runners at the corners. You know, what's your advice if you're a veteran in that room talking to somebody with so much potential, knowing that he can change the game the way he can?
Yeah, keep communicating. And I mentioned Craig Counsell understands communication, right? And I think the coaching staff and what's on the Cubs staff is outstanding as well. It's communication with PCA and saying, hey, listen, do you understand where you put yourself? There's a lot of the mental aspect that is very difficult. And that reared its head last night, in my opinion. Because you're taking on so much more responsibility. Last year, he just showed up and he wanted to show his talents, be a free spirit baseball player. But when you start putting up numbers, there's expectations and there's a bar set. So, Layla, what I would say is you're communicating to a star player that has had a huge first half, arguably an MVP first half, and you just want him to stay engaged mentally. If you feel like he's not, that's when you have to pull back and say, hey, I'm going to give you a day just for mental rest. Because this game gets overwhelming at times. I never was in that seat like PCA is. I was always the pinch hitter, the bench player, and trying to fulfill being in a major league uniform. So I don't want to speak to what he's doing because I've never been in his shoes that way. But I'll tell you this, I watched the game intently because that's what I had to do. I watched stars. I watched how they had to carry a team at times. But also when they weren't going well, what did they do? Did they do something defensively? PCA is a star in the making for this game, which is enhancing the game immensely. Just remind him. You have to mentally be in the moment every single pitch. And that's what happened last night. It did change the game, but he's going to learn from it, and he's going to be better for it.
Yep, and ironic for a guy who's made some of the best plays we have seen all season but playing defense and being an outfielder for sure. Mark, I got to ask you a question. The last two nights has been pointed out during the Cubs broadcast, the attendance at Busch Stadium. It does. Yeah. You mentioned the intensity of Cubs Cards. First time I can remember in a while, and I get it, this is a weekday series where you pan the stadium and there's people there, but it ain't the usual Cubs Cards. Why?
Marshall, I'll go back to my first game in the big leagues. I got called up and it was Cubs Cardinals. And I knew about it because I'm a baseball fan, but that was my first experience because I got traded over from the Angels. And that was my first game. The Cardinals were out of it. And that was the year that Joe Torre got let go as a manager of the Cardinals. So it was an interim manager, and I came out to 50,000 people. It doesn't matter when it's Cubs-Cardinals. I will say this. It goes back to my response before about a surprise with this team because they haven't been backed by the fan base, even though this is a passionate fan base, they haven't necessarily been backed because they're frustrated with what is really in front of them. There's a cardinal way that people talk about, and the Cubs fans probably don't want to hear that, but I lived it and I understand there is an aspect and there's an understanding. When you put a Cardinal uniform on, you're expected to win, you're expected to go to the playoffs and hopefully win a world championship. That's the expectation that they brought because the history of what the Cardinals are. I think that's the disappointment from the fans. I think the team, the way they've played, has built a backing for this club because they play inspired baseball. So I think it's going to be a build. These Cardinal fans are passionate about winning, passionate about their team. They're probably just watching it at their homes rather than coming to the ballpark. But that atmosphere needs to be better when it comes to Cubs-Cardinals, because as a player, when you feel the energy of the fan base, there's nothing better. And this Cubs-Cardinals rivalry always brings that. Hopefully it continues to get better.
Well, I guess we found out who the real best fans in baseball are. They were the ones who actually attend the games the past 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Just go saying, they're the real ones. Mark Sweeney, thank you so much for joining us. Always great to talk baseball with you. We appreciate it.
Marshall and Layla, thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Anytime you need it, I'll talk Cubs Cardinals all day long.
And Mark Grody too. I know he's happy to talk to you as well.
But they didn't put me on the Zoom.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks so much, Mark. That was Mark Sweeney. He, of course, a 14-year veteran in the big leagues, knows Craig Counsell, also the analyst for Fox Sports or FanDuel Sportsnet Midwest.
Did I represent you well, Marshall, with the question that I asked?
I appreciated it.
Oh, that guy really makes a mistake.
Was I not on the Twitch? What happened over there?
Coming up next, we need to get into some optics that look bad for this Cubs team. I hate to do it. I hate it.
Uh-oh. Why do you hate it? It needs to be, the truth needs to be out there.
Cubs optics?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There are some Cubs optics, and they were on display last night.
I love when you talk optics.
Do you, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Better
find
or worse
out.
Than logistics?
Oh, that's a great question. They rhyme.
Oh, no. Well, we're going to address an uncomfortable truth next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Tying run at third, go-ahead run at second. Here's the 2-1. Swinging a big chop toward third, charging Arenado, barehands it, and throws to first in time. Ball game over. Arenado barehanded it, rifled it to first, getting Swanson by half a step, and the ball game is over.
That was Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on the score as the Cubs lost 8-7 to the Cardinals in game two of this series in St. Louis. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And unfortunately, Dansby Swanson getting into a bit of the hitting pattern that we saw earlier in the season. It was most glaring when we saw the numbers last night. Swanson, with runners in scoring position, is now, for the season, batting .141. He has 27 strikeouts in those scenarios compared to 22 RBIs. He also has 7 walks in that total as well. But .141 with runners in scoring position. And I know I'm hard on him, but it's partially because he's the Cubs' highest paid player. He's who they wanted to build around. He's the one who is making $177 million with the contract. And unfortunately, I expect him to do more in that scenario. OPS combined is .420 with runners in scoring position. And right now, as it stands, Swanson is your number 5 hitter in the lineup. And when it just comes to optics, your highest paid player shouldn't be the one who's got those numbers with runners in scoring position. Not in today's Major League Baseball. Pay somebody else, pay Kyle Tucker, to make that not the case. But either way, It says a lot, unfortunately, about what we're seeing out of him offensively. I'd say at this point, the past season and a half.
Listen, I've been an advocate since the start of the season. We can go back, right? The Dansby Swanson should be a little bit higher because, remember, they had Matt Shaw initially in that five hole. The batting order looks so different because Nico Hoerner was a bottom third hitter at the start of the season. Remember that. But to your point, Layla, he's played more games batting fifth than anywhere else. And in 45 games started batting fifth, he's batting .215 with a .267 on-base percentage and a .387 slug. Now, the slug I can live with. That's 8 home runs in that. But out of what you just talked about, in those at-bats, those plate appearances where he's had runners in scoring position, it's not just that he's 11 for 78. It's the fact that of those 11 hits, he's had a double, a triple, and a home run. And if you're going to do what you did to start this series and bat that man cleanup, it's a lot on Craig Counsell. Because in 6 games now where he's batted cleanup for the team, he is now 2 for 24. That's a .083 batting average.
No, it's 83.
I know it's a small sample size. What? With a 120 on-base percentage and an .083 slug. 83. Those two hits, by the way, were, yes, singles. So if you look at where he's batted elsewhere in the order, when he bats 7th, 7 games there, batting .417. When he bats 8th, 9 games there.
There we go.
.387. Uh-huh. And OPS is above 1.3 7th, 1.1 8th. He's got to bat lower in the order. Nico should bat ahead of him. Yes, but he's got a bat lower in the order.
I think part of the issue for me is knowing who was available when the Cubs wanted to sign a shortstop. And they talk about intelligent spending. When you consider Trey Turner was available, Carlos Correa, Xander Bogaerts. And they talk so much about how they wanted to spend their money compared to the other contracts that we saw. I think all of that is great in theory. But if in practice, the person that you made the most valuable on your team has an OPS this season of 706. That's a concern for me. You just need more offensively out of the guys that you want to have value for you. Even if overall that number is lower relative to the others I just mentioned contract-wise.
And as Marshall outlined very well, look, he had the slump at the beginning of the year, and then Craig Counsell did what he had to do. Finally, after chance after chance after chance, put him down in the order, he starts hitting everything. It's where he has like gotten, as you pointed out, it's where the bulk of his production has been. So it seems like a pretty simple solution, to be honest with you. It worked once for you, Kreggers. Let's try it again. Let's put him down in the lineup, and maybe this time, you have to keep him there. Part of the reason they don't is because of what you said at the beginning, Layla, or your overall overriding point, is that he's the highest paid player on the team. Do you really want to Jason Hayward this guy and sink him at the bottom of the lineup?
Hayward had a career average 5 war when he was signed to this team.
Yeah.
Swanson did not. We were concerned about the numbers offensively.
And yeah, a lot of this has to do with the fact that 203 and 200 are the batting averages for Carson Kelly in the months of May and June, respectively. That's why he got the bump up.
And it makes sense. And I don't want to be this hard on him necessarily, knowing what I know about his offensive profile. But I think everybody thought that it was going to get better.
I think so, too. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, too, I don't think Swanson was their first choice. I mean, he was sort of like what became available in that great shortstop class, as you pointed out. But he was a good player. Like, he didn't have the same war coming in, but he was still a player who was expected to do big things with the Cubs, and it just hasn't been consistent except for that very first half of his first year with the Cubs.
And on other teams, if it's the Dodgers, if it's the Mets, if it's somebody with higher payroll, we're not scrutinizing it as much because chances are you've signed a guy like Kyle Tucker to a big-name contract. You know, you've signed other players to these massive deals. This is what is happening right now, and they've got to do what they can with the lineup right now to make it best for the individuals that they have, and that's why this gets so tough once you get to the number 5 through 9 in this.
What about the third baseman these days, too? Where you at?
Right.
So, you know.
So, obviously, a story we continue to track and we'll continue to watch, but it made itself known last night in the 9th inning, for sure, when the Cubs were down 8-7. We have more coming up here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. We ask the question next. With the NBA draft being tonight, we're going to take a look at two contrasting processes. You've heard of trust the process, but I want to know, whose process do you trust? We'll play that game next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.